This is Will's Band of the Week for November 5th, 2017. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live from Fourth Bedroom Studios.
Hey, Will. Hey, everybody.
Hey, how are we doing?
Doing all right.
Back in the humble confines of Fourth Bedroom Studios.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, we're doing this on a Thursday night.
Yep.
It's been kind of chilly and rainy in Madison. And
yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah, it's a good night for rock and roll, though.
Yeah, totally.
Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to Barrett, the sponsor this week is Spotted Cow Grand Cru. So I guess this is like a special edition of Spotted Cow.
Right.
So
yeah, I didn't really research too much.
Yeah, it doesn't really taste like Spotted Cow.
No, it doesn't.
But it's from New Glarus Brewing, which is exclusive to Wisconsin. They have just decided they're not distributing their beer outside of our great state.
You can't get it in Illinois.
Nope.
Minnesota, much less places like, you know,
Ipswich.
New York, Ipswich,
yeah,
Melbourne,
right,
Kitchener, especially not right. Kitchener.
Right. I think there's any beer that they only sell in Kitchener.
I don't know.
Could be.
I'll have to ask our Kitchener bureau chief about that, but I bet they have good beer up there.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of the Canadian mainstream beers are not that good, but, you know, you can say that about, you know, probably the mainstream beers anywhere if you're a beer snob, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, Labatt's.
Right. Like, I think I had some Labatt's, and what's the other big? There's another big...
Molson.
Right. So, I think I had a Labatt's and a Molson sometime when I was up in Canada in the last 3 years or so, and I just honestly thought they were really terrible.
Really? You know? Like, worse than mass-produced American beers?
I think they were a little worse than what I would consider, like, Miller and Budweiser.
So, they're more like in the old style...
Oh, boy.
Range.
Yeah, it was disappointing because I thought this is kind of cool, right?
I would get it just
wanted
it's
to like
different.
It. Yeah.
It looks different.
Well, that's what I did, and then I was kind of disappointed.
Mm.
But they certainly have not as many craft breweries as the United States, but it seems like a fair number. So it's good. If you like beer, you can go anywhere around the world. You're probably going to be able to get a beer pretty much, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would think.
It's been my experience. I haven't been all over, but the places I've been.
Better let my wife in the door.
All right.
Okay, we took a little break. I thought I should let my wife in the house.
I mean, otherwise
I could have left her locked out, but...
She would have just kept ringing the doorbell.
Yeah, and banging on the door.
And then eventually she would have been pounding on this window
in
the studio. And then
eventually call the police, and then all hell would break loose.
It was easier and kinder just to let her in.
But that reminded me that I have a TV endorsement this week.
You do?
Yeah, we just finished watching the series Halt and Catch Fire. You ever seen that?
No.
It's a good one. I recommend it.
What's
it? It's a four-season TV series that just ended on one of the American cable channels, but also on Netflix. They had the first three series on Netflix, so we had to watch season four on the AMC dedicated channel.
Mm-hmm.
It is basically a drama, character-driven drama, centered around the computer business in the 80s, and then they take it into the 90s. But it's really well done.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, so people should check that out. Halt and Catch Fire.
Will's TV show of the week.
Right. I'll never have the good pop culture recommendations that Chris comes up with, but, you know.
He's a major consumer of media.
He is, yeah.
Yeah.
And producer of media, too.
And a producer.
He's all over. He's all over the pop culture. I'm going to call it the pop culture. Maybe that's not even the right term anymore.
Well, he's tapped into the zeitgeist.
There you go. The zeitgeist.
Yeah, it's of a five-tool. We like to use baseball references. He'd be a five-tool player in the media world, right?
Right.
Producer, consumer. You know, I'd have to make up three more. Maybe you only need to be a two-tool player. That's like a complete player.
I'm afraid I'm kind of one-dimensional, a one-trick pony.
Well, we do this.
Yeah.
That's one.
Mm-hmm.
We consume media, listen to music, and watch movies and television shows.
Yeah.
So
a little bit.
We're right up there with Chris. Just the volume's a little bit less.
Yeah, I guess that's it. Yeah. All right. Well, more fun this week, right? Are we going to guarantee some fun?
Yep.
I think it's going to be fun. And, well, I'm sure the fans won't be disappointed to hear that we've got one of these. We sort of have a streak of live reports going, don't we?
Yeah, we're I think accounting for ourselves pretty well given our ages.
Right.
Our aggregate age.
It's like, yeah,
pushing 110.
Yeah, it's if you start adding up ages, it gets kind of crazy. But you know, I think for the past several weeks we've been having quite a few live reports.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how long we can keep it going.
Yeah. Well, I do. I might have one coming up too. A little teaser, another one.
All right. But you've got one right now.
Yeah, last Thursday, Wilson and I drove to Milwaukee and went and saw Wolf Parade at the Turner Ballroom. Have you been there?
Oh, yeah. I like the Turner Ballroom.
I thought I'd been there until I went inside and I realized that I hadn't.
It's big, right?
It's big.
It's a big ballroom.
Yeah.
So did you go up very close or?
Well, no, we were kind of, you know, it was pretty well filled up, less dense near the back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we were probably 2/3 of the way up, and that allowed for us to have a little bit of room and not be too crowded. But
yeah,
the opener was Charlie Bliss.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's great. She had kind of a real good band, and she's got kind of a girlish voice. Kind of. She's got an extremely girlish voice.
Right, like super high-pitched.
Yeah,
yeah.
Almost like Claire Grogan from Altered Images.
Yes, right.
So that paired with, you know, kind of poppy songs, but also a pretty, you know, fuzzed out guitar and stuff. So that's kind of their thing. And live, I really liked it. And the songs weren't familiar to me, so I thought I'd maybe recognize one or two from having listened to it for the podcast, but I did not. Anyway, they were great, and afterwards, Wilson went up and bought a record, and they were at the merch table, and all four of them signed it.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got a very good merch table set up at Turner Hall.
Yeah.
Because it's big enough that, you know, you just go to the back of the hall, right, and there's plenty of room, and it's kind of open. And
right.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I should mention, you mentioned Claire Grogan from Altered Images. Remember they had a happy birthday song, remember that?
Yeah.
And that song was played on one of the episodes of Halt and Catch Fire. And that's one of the things I should have mentioned.
Really?
The soundtrack to that show is really good.
Wow.
A lot of stuff in the 80s, they have all kinds of great like punk stuff from the 80s that's just obscure enough that you don't know who the band is. And you're like, God, that totally sounds like the 80s, but I don't know who that band is.
Right. So
somebody did some great research. Yeah. And then a song will come on that you recognize and you'll be like, whoa, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Remember, oh God, what's that song? Whisper to a Scream.
Sure.
That's like the title in parentheses, right? It's called something, Whisper to a Scream. And who is that band? I think they were Canadian. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't
that,
know.
That song is on one of the episodes.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's cool. So watch that show for the music also.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Charlie Bliss was good.
Charlie Bliss was good.
And
after a short break, Wolf Parade came on, and so like Wilson and I were like, "What song are they going to start out with?" And I nominated the first song on the new album, which happens so often.
Yes,
when you see live music,
it was my god! If you were going to bet, like just odds wise, I'd probably say the same thing. Yeah,
yeah, it seems to happen almost all the time.
So before you tell us what they started with, did Wilson have a different prediction?
He had a prediction, which I don't remember what it was, but when mm-hmm. I said mine, he's like, oh, wait, yeah, that's mm-hmm. what it's going to be, and that's what it was.
Yeah.
So they started off with, it's called Lazarus Online.
Yeah.
Kind of a little bit of a slow burner that it kind of gets people into the mood slowly. They were great. You know, Spencer Krug on the keyboard. He just had one keyboard. I thought he'd have a lot of fun little old ones and new synthesizers and things like that. But he just had one very versatile keyboard he was playing on.
That's kind of a good way to go, I think.
Yeah. I mean, a little easier. And then Dan Beckner on the guitar on the right side. And these two guys couldn't be any more dissimilar, right? Like, Spencer just looks like a guy that you'd see. You know, we went and had a pretzel at Mater's ahead of time, which is this German restaurant. He just looks like a guy that would be working at Mater's.
Yeah.
You know, and then Dan Beckner is like rock and roll dude.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I thought the, I like the songs. They played a lot of stuff from the new album, but just they were tight and energetic and having a great time. And it was one of the better shows by a band that I'm not, you know, like that into that I've seen in a good while. You know, they really won me over.
Yeah. Maybe you went in like with not super high expectations.
Right. I mean, I knew the first album and the new one and not the other stuff.
Yeah.
Right. So they played most of the new album, and kind of weird. They also did it kind of chronologically, interspersed with some older ones.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody that's thinking about, you know, going to see them and hoping that they play, you know, half the set from their first album is going to be pretty disappointed. But, you know, if you have expectations different than that, I think you're going to be very, very impressed. I think Craig would like it. So I'm encouraging Craig to go.
And all right.
Anybody else that might have a chance. So, yeah, it was great. Wilson loved it. I loved it.
They should probably stop by Kitchener, wouldn't you think?
You would think.
They'd want to play for Anurag. You know, it's kind of like when bands want to play when there's an important record company executive in the audience, right? And they get kind of nervous.
Right.
So I would think you'd want to go up there to Kitchener just in the hope that Anurag would be in the audience.
Right. But then he'd be scanning, looking for him. But he'd have like a fake mustache and some sunglasses on.
Yeah. So I could see, I think he'd have like a stylish sport coat and a skinny tie also, don't you think?
Yeah, I can see that.
But tennis shoes.
Yeah, probably. You got to be comfortable above all.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, Anurag, that is your assignment.
All right, that's good. That's good. Keep those live reports coming. So we'll try to do that. What's going to happen? It's going to be interesting. The there are never any new releases in November and December. Of course, we get into kind of a week into December is usually when we record the end of year special.
Right.
Yeah. So we only have like a month before we'll probably record that in 4 weeks, right?
Maybe something
five,
like that.
4 or 5 weeks. Yeah. So, I've got a few things that I haven't had time to listen to that I can see if they're podcast worthy.
Right.
But as far as new releases, there's not going to be much more.
It's going to be tough. We might have to have a special, you know? We've had some fun specials like the. One of my favorites was the guitar solo special.
Yeah, that was a fun one. Yeah.
And then, of course, one's focusing on single bands. I'm sure we can find another one that we haven't talked about.
Right,
One that we're going to talk about today we've never talked about, which is kind of weird.
I know, and it's a cool one, too.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I've got a little working list, so we'll work on that.
Oh, good, yeah.
Yeah. I think we should maybe just go to our special thing next.
Okay.
By the way, we could probably do... Our entire podcast could just be called 40th Anniversary, where we just talk about the 40th anniversary of everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about a lot of 40th anniversaries. Actually, I think it was just the 25th anniversary of the Automatic for the People REM album.
Yeah, I saw that.
There was an NPR interview with Stipe and Mills that I haven't listened to yet, but it seems curious enough, so I probably will.
25 years. Good Lord.
But, you know... We're talking 40-year anniversaries. So 40 years ago last week is when the Sex Pistols' only studio album came out.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind the bollocks.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Sex Pistols?
Or here's.
Here's the Sex Pistols.
Right.
Here is them. Is that correct grammar? Or should it be here are the Sex
Pistols? Probably here are.
But that's not punk rock sounding at all. Right.
Yeah, you know, I never thought about that.
If your grammar is too perfect, then you don't sound punk rock.
No.
So it's never mind the bollocks, here's the Sex Pistols. And I'm looking at the album cover right now. That's just a, I'm going to overuse this term. It's just a classic. Right?
Yeah, it's iconic.
It totally is. You know, and you were, when you meant, you brought this up a week ago that we should talk about this. And I was thinking that this album and probably whatever Ramones album I heard first, that for me, that was my introduction to punk rock. Like that's what punk rock was yeah. the Sex Pistols and the Ramones.
Sure.
And we've never talked about the Sex Pistols before, right?
I feel like nobody's ever even said their name.
Isn't that weird?
Like, never even mentioned them in passing.
Right, which is just bizarre.
I could be wrong, but that is bizarre.
Yeah. I wonder why. Like, why do the Ramones come up? Well, I guess it makes sense.
They have a lot of albums. Right. They've been around for a long time.
They probably had like 8 studio albums, right?
I mean, the Sex Pistols, so this album came out October, what is it, 20-something.
Yeah.
And then... 3 months later, they were broken up, you know?
Right.
And then a year later, you know, Sid Vicious was dead.
Right. And I was reading a little bit about the recording of it. And, you know, it sort of almost didn't even get recorded, you know, because they were... and when you think about it, when you hear about the stories about the band, it's almost amazing that they, like, could just get it together enough to even record the album. But then it's funny because, in a way, the album itself is... like totally cohesive.
It's totally
right?
cohesive.
And never, it's consistently good. Like it, a ton of really good songs.
There are no bad songs.
Yeah.
I think it starts off great. The ending with the song EMI, which I think will be one of my selections, is just perfect. And in there you've got some, you know, iconic, just absolute classics. Anarchy yeah. in the UK.
Yeah.
And God Save the Queen.
Yeah, I think God Save the Queen was sort of the most famous song.
Yeah.
Right? If people had barely heard of the Sex Pistols, if they knew only one song, that would be the one, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. So I think Steve Jones, the guitar player, I got the impression from the little bit of reading that I did in the past week or two that he was kind of the best musician of the group.
That would make sense.
And they basically had him play the bass parts because... Sid Vicious was so bad that they were like, sorry, man, we can't use that part.
Right. Well, Glenn Matlock was the original bassist, and he played on, like, I don't think they recorded this all at one time.
Yeah, you know what? I might have had Glenn Matlock mixed up with Steve Jones. Maybe he's the guy.
No, you were correct. Glenn Matlock was the original bassist, and he got kicked out, and
okay.
Sid Vicious came in. But, you know, I think Glenn Matlock was an actual bass player.
Okay.
But Sid Vicious was just not at all. They just brought him in because he had the look and just mayhem. And
the attitude, yeah.
But he's like, I think that he sometimes literally just didn't play. And it didn't matter.
So maybe I did have that right. I think Steve Jones then played a bunch of the bass on the album.
Yeah, I did read that.
Yeah, and the only song where the recording actually has Sid Vicious playing bass is the song Bodies.
Right, which we won't be playing, probably.
No, probably not. I mean, I think it's good, but there's so many songs. So, yeah. But,
you know, like, okay, so at the time, they were just shocking to everybody. Like,
yeah,
you can't do that. And a lot of it, in retrospect, it's like, oh, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's not that offensive, except for the song Bodies, which even 40 years on, it's hard to think of a song that's more... offensive.
But I haven't paid enough attention to the lyrics, so I assume it's bratty, but I haven't even, it hasn't registered with
yeah.
me.
Yeah, well, it's just kind of a graphic description of an abortion.
Yeah, that's kind of nasty.
Yeah, so.
Well, let's play some music. We can talk some more. So, you know, we can play a few. Why don't we start with Holidays in the Sun?
Yeah.
That's rocking.
Right? Yeah, that's great.
It's just cool.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of think at the time, you know, that you would call it punk rock. And you still have to call it punk rock, I guess, because that's kind of the definition of punk rock. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's sort of power pop, emphasizing the power, you know, because it's catchy. It's got catchy tunes.
Right.
Even though he's got the snarl and the yelling. It all fits together just great, totally. I think.
But when you think like punk rock, when I think of like, you know, say 1977 and 78 in the UK, it did sound kind of like this. When people think like punk today, they equate it with like American hardcore.
Yeah, you're right, which is totally different.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's faster and harder and a lot of times less melodic. And I don't know. I've always preferred the older British stuff, but, you know, and of course there's the Ramones too, but.
Yeah. They're quite a bit different though, aren't they? I think I probably had debates or at least lively conversations with my teenage friends back then, as far as, you know, like Ramones versus Sex Pistols.
Mm-hmm.
When my one of my good friends who had the punk band, they were totally into the Ramones. And I remember, I've probably talked about this, I used to argue with him because I thought Rush was better than the Ramones.
Yeah.
So I was like the progressive rock guy, right? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, the Ramones, all they do is play like do-do-do-do-do, you know. They're bad musicians and all this stuff, you know. And, you know, a couple of years later, I kind of came around to liking the Ramones quite a bit.
Right.
But
the Ramones, like, I wouldn't say like one or the other better than, you know, better. But actually, maybe I probably do like the Sex Pistols a little bit better. But it's pretty close. The big difference, I think, is that with the Pistols, there's like a sense of menace that is completely lacking in the Ramones. It's fast.
Right.
And they talk about sniffing glue and wanting to be somebody's boyfriend and stuff like that. But underneath it, it's got kind of an innocent sheen that the Sex Pistols doesn't have at all.
Right. Yeah, that's true. All right. Let's play another one.
All right. There's so many great ones. Maybe we'll skip the two, or I will anyway. I'm not going to pick one of the two big ones right now. I'm going to play EMI, which is the last song and kind of a story of their record label troubles at the time. So there's like a bridge and a chorus and a verse and another bridge, and it's like the whole way through exciting, and he varies his delivery and I don't know, like the way Johnny Rotten rolls his R's sometimes, and like at the end of a word he'll like put a little like a how do you describe that?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like you say EMI, yeah, like that. Yeah. Like I don't know. I just think it, well, obviously it was really influential. I don't need me to say that. But listening to the whole thing all the way through, I've done that like probably like four times since we decided to do this episode on each song. It's like, man.
Yeah, it actually.
So much better than it like needed to be.
It actually surprised me because what I thought I was going to get listening to it again was like half the songs would be really good and the other half would be kind of like, okay, I'm waiting for the next one. But I found it to be pretty consistently good.
Yeah, there's not one song that isn't. I don't think there's not any song that's not really good.
It's pretty solid. Well, I'm going to play, I think I'll play one of the famous ones just because back in probably about 1978, my friends with the band The Resistors played a great cover of this song, and Dave the drummer sang it, Anarchy in the UK. Anarchy in the UK.
Yeah. And like, you know, the lyrics aren't all just dumb either. It's like, anarchy for the UK. It's coming sometime. And maybe this next line, a couple of them don't get, but I give a wrong time, stop a traffic line. And then your future dream is a shopping scheme. It's like really talking about just, you know, capitalism. And, you know, this is in Great Britain, but, you know, when you talk about the American dream and stuff, really when it comes down to it, it's a shopping scheme.
Yeah.
Like somebody came, one of these guys came up with that.
Yeah.
One of these boneheads.
Right. Did Johnny Rotten write the lyrics?
I don't know. I've never known.
Yeah.
And I wish I'd gone and done a little bit of more research. I think all the songs are credited to the whole band. So I don't know.
Yeah. All right. You get another pick.
All right. I'm going to pick Problems.
Take
So that's one of the ones that's like not a, you know, one of the well-known songs, but it's just so great.
Yeah. 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 I found a site. It's actually on their site. It's called sexpistolsofficial.com. And they have a track-by-track discussion. It looks like, I'm getting the impression that most of the lyrics were written by John Lydon, a.k.a. Johnny Rotten. And they have a description of this song, Problems, where John Lydon says, "We had run out of ideas for songs, a major problem. The idea was put to Steve, the guitar hero of the band, who couldn't come up with any riffs at all that particular evening, to put something together using an A, B, C, and D chord sequence. As the song progressed, it got better." They're just like, "We need a song. Come on, come up with something."
Yeah, that's incredible to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bands that, I mean, countless bands, you know, so, okay, we just heard that they threw that together, that a lot of bands that have been around for a long time, that would be the best song they ever did.
You know? Right, yeah.
Like, pretty remarkable.
Yep.
And, you know, they're... reputation is really just kind of this band thrown together by Malcolm McLaren to rip everybody off by putting out this useless garbage and cheating everybody, and so that's really what that's all they needed to live up to,
right?
And they surpassed it by so much,
right?
It's really kind of hard to imagine that this really happened, but
yeah, pretty cool.
I have a weird memory. Two things, like. This album, I remember buying it at Port Plaza Mall. I don't remember the year, but it was probably, I'm guessing it was 1982. So it was, you know, been out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember walking, I'd gotten a couple of other cool things that I would deem now to be cool, like earlier. But walking around with this, like in a bag that I'd gotten it at Musicland.
Uh-huh.
Like, I remember just walking around like, this is cool. And I hope somebody asks me what's in this bag. I don't know that anybody did.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I showed it to my stepbrother, and we were just both like, oh, my God, you know. We'd been listening to WAPL and stuff, and this was just, like, on a whole nother level. So,
did they even play this?
Definitely
not.
On
the Rock and Apple? Not even God Save the Queen, right?
I'm sure they never have, ever, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, they wouldn't even play it now.
No.
No, because they'd play 38 Special and stuff like that.
Yeah, totally. Instead. Nuge.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
So, yeah, I still, you know, I don't think I've ever gone a year without listening to this album. And, you know, if I was listing my favorite albums, it would take me a long time to get to this. But when it occurred to me, I'd think, yeah, you know what? Wow, yeah. Like, this did kind of change, according to say it changed my life, because it didn't. What it did is changed my, you know, taste in music.
Yeah.
Got me to listen to different music. So change it in that small way, but yeah, still definitely worth, you know, for anybody that hasn't ever listened to it, maybe we have some younger listeners, go out and get it or listen to it on Spotify or whatever you're going to do. And just try to imagine that it's 40 years old and read a little bit about the reaction that they got at the time. And it's pretty remarkable, I think.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
40 years old.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and I saw, I said that I don't think we'd ever mentioned the Sex Pistols before, but that's not true. Because when Malcolm McLaren died, we talked about him.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. So we talked about it a little bit. But I saw him in 1996, and it was the original lineup, you know, with Glenn Matlock back. And at the time, it was like, like, pretty funny going and seeing these guys, and like, oh, they're all old and fat and whatever, and like, oh, pathetic. But... I mean, it wasn't that long after. It was 17 years after, right? It'd be like going to see, like, if the Strokes had broken up 3 months after they put out Is This It? And then you go see them right now at the Aragon Ballroom in Chicago. It'd be like, wow, right?
I didn't even know that the Sex Pistols even did that.
Yeah.
So how were they?
It was great. Like, everybody there was just like, I mean, you know all the songs. There's just like 13 songs.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they like ripped through them, and it was like, hell yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Really loved it.
Wow. That adds to your, I was going to say indie rock cred, but I guess it's punk rock cred now.
I don't have any of that.
I did see the Ramones, but I didn't see the Sex Pistols.
Yeah, I didn't see the Ramones.
I saw the Ramones twice. You know where I saw them one time? It was at Headliners on University Avenue in Madison.
Yeah.
like about what, a mile and a half from here.
Yeah.
There was the place is still there. It's called something else.
It's like Segredo now.
Yeah, and they don't have live music. It's like, you know, it turned into like a disco or whatever. But I saw REM there, and I saw the Ramones there, and
I saw the Replacements there. I saw, man.
They actually
remember
had
the Flesh Tones. I saw the Flesh Tones there.
Yeah. They had some good bands there. And the other place I saw them was on the campus of Northwestern University.
Wow.
In Evanston, Illinois. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Some of my punk rock friends came down from Wisconsin.
Nice.
That was cool. All right. We did it justice, right?
We did as best we could, you know. So the only way to really appreciate it is to turn off this podcast and go out and listen to that album.
Yeah, listen to it. Don't
come back and listen to the podcast later.
I think maybe they should listen to the rest of the podcast first.
Well, we'll agree to disagree on that.
You know, I hadn't really thought about what a contrast our musical selections are this week. We're going to go like the opposite of the Sex Pistols, right?
Pretty much.
This is the diametric opposite of the Sex Pistols. But we're talking about some people with indie rock cred here, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely.
Courtney Barnett and Kurt Vile. So they somehow their paths collided or intersected at some point. But we have Courtney Barnett from Melbourne, right? Probably down the street from Nicholas.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Kurt Vile from Philadelphia.
Right.
And somehow they met each other and thought, hey, it'd be fun to do some music together. So they did. And I think they're compatible in kind of a cool way.
Yeah, I think so.
That's what I think. They put together an album called Lotta Sea Lice.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's play something and then we'll talk more. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
I think this is one where it's appropriate to start with the first track because it sets the tone. It's called Over Everything.
Soul around, I wanna dig into my guitar, bend the blues riff that hangs over everything.
I'm by myself and it's daytime, cause down under, oh, every day's I live when it's evening. You know, I speed read the morning news and come up with my own little song.
About all the other things, like a big old ominous cloud in my periphery.
Yeah. One thing, like when you hear a song like this, so there's two people and they do have a similar kind of sensibility and stuff. And it's hard not to imagine that like Kurt is writing the stuff that he sings and Courtney is writing the stuff that she sings.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a natural way to feel about it.
Right.
But this little interview that they did in Pitchfork, he talks about it and Kurt says, I just started strumming this tune and putting in words there that I thought Courtney would sing about things. So that's what she's singing is stuff that he wrote.
That he thought in that particular would be song. Appropriate for her to sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what she would think about things and stuff.
What I think is interesting is that, well, I really like that track a lot. I think it would be like in my top three songs by either of them individually. You know, it's like, I just think it's like got this great flow to it. And so not only do they have this sort of compatibility vocally, but their guitars just mix in, I think, a really interesting way. You've got right. like one pan to the left and one pan to the right, right. And they're not just playing straightforward chords. They're like doing stuff. I can't right. even really totally tell what it is. They're like kind of noodling, but
right.
both at the same time, and somehow it mixes together and it works.
Right.
I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So that's Courtney Barnett and Kurt Vile. Do you have a pick?
I'm going to pick one called Continental Breakfast because it just seems to be a story about this collaboration that they're doing, talking about, you know, meeting each other and kind of how they're pulling this together. So Continental Breakfast.
One, two, three, four. You won't believe what I could have told you. But I don't believe I've the balls to let you know. I can say that cause I'm a man, but I feel like a little boy today.
I cherish my intercontinental friendships. We talk it over continental breakfast in a hotel in
somewhere on the sphere around here. I cherish my intercontinental friendships. Not much very big on enemies, so I kick a can way up into the sun, man, but it falls down into a ravine. I don't mean to even think about it that way, but I do.
Watching the waves come in at night from my back porch to porch swing.
Continental Breakfast.
Yeah.
So that one goes out to Nicholas, right?
Yeah.
I cherish my intercontinental friendships.
That's right.
I thought of Nicholas.
And what about Craig?
Yeah. Well, I thought of Nicholas specifically because of the Melbourne connection.
Yes.
But yeah, we cherish our intercontinental friendships absolutely, on this podcast for sure. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah.
I love it. You know, there's a video. Have you seen that video of them playing
on
the...
No, I don't see videos anymore.
Well, this isn't a video, like a video production thing.
Right.
It's a live performance of them playing on a beach. They're playing like on sand in California. Yeah. And pretty what's cool. amazing about it is the sound quality. They must have had a really good engineer miking everything because it sounds really good.
Yeah.
So find that. It's cool.
I will look for that. You know, one thing I think you'd have to say is that, so you have, I mean, they share a sensibility, kind of a slacker thing, but musically, I think they're a bit different. And Kurt Vile's aesthetic is a lot more prevalent in here. You know, there's not, it's all pretty soft, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of soft, mid-tempo, stoner, rambling music. Whereas Courtney Barnett, she's a little punchier.
I think you're right. Like the overall vibe of the music is a little bit more Kurt Vile than Courtney Barnett.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it's a good combination.
Yeah, I do too.
I will pick one that I think is a fun one that makes you think they were having fun because it's got goofy lyrics. It's called Blue Cheese.
Chinese rock and roll. Blue cheese of you, well, you know. And I'm busting out of my seams, if you know what I mean. Because I'm getting old. Cough on her, forgot to have the fabric softener. I met a girl named Tina. That girl supplies a reefer-ina. So kiss me with your.
Yeah, that's a that is a good one. A little later on, they mention Tom Sharpling, who's a like a kind of comedian, radio guy, podcaster.
Yeah.
But in the and Kurt's on his show a lot, and but in the iTunes lyrics, they say they call him Tom Chopling, like Chopp. It'd be
funny.
Like if we find it's like we were talking say that we got in good with the band and we had them on and stuff and they recorded an album and they mentioned us, but you know, like Apple Music misheard the lyrics and call it like Bill's Band of the Week.
That's right.
Exactly like that.
Yeah, like, that's pretty bad.
What a bummer.
Yeah, that's a lack of respect for sure.
Yeah,
if the lyric reader can't figure out who you are. Yeah,
yeah, somebody should correct that.
Makes me wonder how those even get generated, right? Somebody's got to manually do it. It can't. I think with lyrics, there's no way it could be like an automated, like they, you know, like your dictation software.
They must say like, "Hey, can you give it to us in a, you know, in a Word file? We can like put it on here." And then some people are like, "Yeah, we just don't have that." Like, okay, well, we'll just pay a guy $24 an hour to transcribe this.
Right. That's probably what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That'd be a good job.
That would be a good job. I just.
Yeah. One of us should get that job.
Yeah. Right after I said that, I was like, that's a perfect job for me.
I had a job once identifying songs for a radio station. I was in college.
That's a great job.
Yeah. I was in college and somebody put an ad in, you know, I don't know if it was in like the school newspaper or what, but I saw this ad and it said, we need people who have a extensive knowledge of like, whatever they called it, FM rock radio or something, right?
Yeah.
And they needed it because they were a group of radio stations that was doing research on their competition. They wanted to know what the other stations were playing.
Yeah.
But they didn't have access to a playlist.
Weird.
So what they did is they had this, they rigged up this contraption that would record on a cassette and it would be inefficient to just, you know, record 6 hours of the radio station, right? So what it would do is it would record like 10 seconds of every minute, or maybe 10 seconds of every 2 minutes. And then I would get that cassette and then I would listen to it and I would just list all the songs. I'd be like, oh yeah, that's whatever song by
Don't
ZZ
Fear
Top.
The Reaper.
Yeah, this one's by whatever by ZZ Top or something by Rush or something, you know.
Yeah.
And then they had a method by which if you didn't know one of the songs, then you had to make a new tape of the songs you didn't know, so those could get given to somebody else to try to identify them, and they called that the expert's tape.
Ooh.
See.
So were you on the first pass or the expert's?
No, I was on the first one. So
you probably could have done the expert's, but
as I remembered it, I could get like at least like 80% of them.
Yeah, that's because
you
good.
Know those stations played the same songs over and over again. Yeah. It wasn't like they were playing deep cuts, like you said. It was like, oh yeah, that's "Don't Fear the Reaper" or "Smoking" by Boston or something. Yeah, you know, some,
exactly.
You know,
wow, that's fun.
That was pretty fun.
Old job, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it was just like a summer. I think they paid me like $25 per tape or something.
Yeah, shit, I'd do that right now.
Right? Yeah, it'd be good.
30 years yeah. on, I'd still do right. that for $25.
Let's do it. All right. Well, did we do justice to Courtney Barnett and Kurt Vile?
I hope so. I think we gave the people two things that we can fully, strongly recommend that they listen to.
I think so. Definitely. And yeah, we don't need to talk about any other music this week, I don't think.
I don't think so. I will give this a solid B. I don't feel like it's... It doesn't... I agree, that first song is great, and that's the first one that they did together. And but for the most part, I don't think that it comes out to be the more, you know, more than the sum of the parts.
The some of the songs do sound like they were thinking, well, we need to like fill up a whole album. What are we gonna do? And so like there's one song that's basically a Courtney Barnett cover of a Kurt Vile song. You know, the song that she liked, and like, okay, I'm gonna do this song.
Right.
And it's fine, yeah. It's okay, but it's not great.
What about like not wanting to work and stuff? It is something about that.
Now we have to go back and I have to verify which one it is. It's called Peepin' Tom, but it's Peepin' with an apostrophe, and I think the Kurt Vile version is like Peeping with a G on there.
Yeah.
So they changed the title just slightly. But I think overall it's a enjoyable listen, and the spirit of the whole thing is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And it's definitely worth listening to all the way through.
If you like either artist, but especially if you like Kurt Vile, can't go wrong. It's worth some listener to at least.
And it makes me, it does kind of, for me, kind of revives my interest in wanting to hear the next Courtney Barnett album.
Yeah.
Because for her, it's a little bit more of a, I don't want to say left turn, but it's a little different than what she's done. Like you're saying, more than it's different from what he's done. So I don't know. It's just kind of fun to hear.
Right. I mean, as far as like the career moves for each, Courtney Barnett, I think, has quite a bit of pressure on her next release, whereas Kurt Vile doesn't at all. He just keeps doing things like this.
Right. And
it probably felt pretty good for her just to be like, I want to do this low stakes thing with this other guy. And, you know, the whole vibe is going to be pretty slacky, and that suits me right now.
Yeah.
Kind of release a little bit of the pressure.
Yep. All right.
So, yeah. Anything else?
No deaths this week. Everybody stayed alive for another week.
Everybody stayed alive. I think somebody might have died, but we did have a listener that came into the coffee shop today.
Really?
Yeah. So, a listener from Elizabeth, Connecticut, was here on business in Madison and had emailed. He actually emailed another time about, he's the one that wanted to help us, like, by paying to get a first run of the t-shirts made.
Oh, cool, yeah.
We just felt kind of uncomfortable about that.
Uh-huh.
But publicly, we are now acknowledging the generosity there. It's very nice. We will get those t-shirts made.
That'd be cool.
We'll do it with our own.
So he was traveling to Madison, and he's like, I'm going to go to Indie Coffee.
He's with some firm, and they have a company that they own in Madison, and he was going to talk to the... You know, to the officers of that business, and staying at the Edgewater, and came and
that's
said,
great.
Hi. Nice guy, really nice guy. It was really fun.
Well, who would listen to our podcast who's not a nice guy?
Oh, I know.
Come on,
like if you're not,
or nice woman. Hopefully, we don't have all male listeners.
That's true.
We probably have more male than female.
Why would that be?
Because we're dorks, maybe. I don't know. I don't know, but just from the response we get, or maybe it's just that the men are more. Like willing to,
they know how to use email and stuff. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe that's it. No, maybe they just like maybe they're just more outgoing or something. Who knows?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
the women that listen to it would be ashamed to admit it to anybody, including to us.
Yeah, because we're not cool enough.
No, not cool.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so he verified that there really is an indie coffee.
Yeah, and I was an actual person.
Yeah.
One funny thing is I can't remember what the exact, we talked for a few minutes, 5 minutes, and I had to offer an opinion about something, and I said that I was agnostic about that. And then in the back of my mind, I'm like, God damn it. That's what I said about Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Either he's like, how many phrases does this guy know? Like that he's using the same thing that he said in a podcast. I felt really stupid. I didn't say anything, but I was like, in the back of my mind, like, and I'd probably take that back if I could.
Well,
make it sound like I had a little bit more of a varied mind.
At least he wasn't the guy who got mad about the Death of the Week feature.
No, we can talk about that another time.
Yeah.
Right.
No, we sort of covered it enough already. I think I talked about it with Grant a couple weeks ago.
What did Grant say? Now I'm exposing myself as not having listened to that episode because I've been busy.
Yeah, he just thought it was kind of goofy that somebody would react that strongly.
Yeah.
He's cool with our vibe of our podcast.
Okay. I did apologize to the guy and felt bad that he reacted that way. But it's hard to walk around, or it's hard to do this. And, I think the way that I described it in the email and the way that you and I talked about it, it is just like we're sitting around at a bar talking to each other, to Anurag or Craig, Nicholas, whoever, David Zucker, about music, and just like, you don't have a filter on. You're not like, who's this going to make somebody mad? Because all the people that we talk to have the exact same sensibility. So,
yeah.
To anybody that is ever offended by anything that we say, I'm sorry. I am sorry. I don't want to make people sad, but, you know, it's hard to make everybody happy all the time.
But,
we try our best.
The other reason why nobody ever complains or gets offended by our podcast is because most of those people would just listen for 5 minutes and say, these guys are idiots. I'm never going to listen to this again.
That's
right?
True.
They just don't listen. Right?
That's true.
So it's kind of an interesting scenario where somebody listens and cares enough about the podcast and then also would be like outraged at some attitude that we have.
Right. Yeah. You know, I mean, in the email, he did express an appreciation for what we do and he likes it, doesn't want to change too much. And he had a suggestion that he made because he thought he could make it better. And maybe that would be better. I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you what, anytime that we talk about somebody dying from now on, I'm always going to have that in my mind.
I think I'm going to still be arrogant and aloof and offensive. So we'll balance each other out.
All right.
You'll be respectful, but then I'll stay disrespectful.
I wouldn't say that, but maybe I'll be a little less disrespectful than I might have otherwise been. But no, we do care about everybody's opinion.
Oh, yeah.
And,
absolutely.
It's just great to hear from anybody, whether it's something good or something constructive or... You know, maybe something just like flat out mean, like you have a terrible voice and you're a moron. Like, I don't need to hear that. If that's your opinion, then, you know.
Go listen to Bob Boylan then.
Yeah.
We're
people with feelings and stuff. I don't need that in my life.
Yeah. Come on, people. Be nice. But yeah, no, it's great to hear from people.
Mm-hmm.
And if every once in a while that means it has to be, you know, getting slammed, hey, I think it's okay.
Actually, like three of our bureau chiefs or correspondents are just people that listened and contacted us, right? Like you knew Anurag before.
Yeah.
But Craig was a listener. Nicholas.
Yeah.
And David Zucker as well.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess I can stop saying David Zucker. Like just David.
Right.
Because we don't use anybody else's last names.
Yeah. Probably like we got a few emails from him that had his last name on them. So then it's like in our heads that was his name.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, but we're now on a first name basis.
Mm-hmm.
So
So he did a recording. Is he been assigned a bureau, or is he more like a?
Well, I'm kind of thinking.
Like a how do you do that?
Kind of thinking it's the New York City bureau.
Okay.
You know, I don't think we've formally determined his promotion, but we'll have to. I don't know. Should we send him a bottle of whiskey or something?
Maybe.
We didn't do that with the other correspondents, though. We've never sent anybody a bottle of whiskey.
That's true.
Nobody's ever sent us one either.
All right. So let's forget about the whiskey. So now, like, I can imagine he's listening and he's, like, literally jumping up and down. thinking that he's a new bureau chief. Is that the case?
Could be.
Are we going to just kind of leave it up in the air?
I don't know. Do you think he might have like champagne spraying all over his dining room right now?
Right.
It'd be a big mess to clean up. Yeah.
Yeah. And it'd be like when a team thinks they're going to win the World Series and they have the lockers all covered with whatever. And then oh shit, and then they're coming lose. And they have to like run and
be
pull
bad.
Down all the plastic.
Yeah. So maybe. I don't know. I think he's been on two podcasts now.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know.
All right. Maybe we can do one of those like Facebook polls. No.
We'd get one vote, right? And then one person would vote him down, maybe. But and then it'd be all sad.
But he could vote for himself. I bet Greg would put in a vote for him.
Yeah, that's true.
He could win like 3-2. But
all right.
I don't know. We don't do things by the majority rule.
We'll take this all into account as a, you know, as a management meeting, and maybe next week we can come back with our decision after great deliberation. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, he's certainly got the enthusiasm. He's got the background and the knowledge, and he comes across as a very smart guy.
Yeah.
So is he maybe too smart? Is he going to make us look dumb?
I don't know. We have to consider that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Craig's like, I'm smarter than you guys. You didn't worry about that.
Yeah. Like, that's the problem.
And like Anurag, too.
All the correspondents are smarter than us.
Except for Nicholas. I think Nicholas might be kind of dim.
Right? Oh, well. That's the last we're going to hear from Nicholas now. Oh, he just got voted a vote of confidence from David, though. Did you hear that one?
No, I did hear that, yeah.
Yeah, so I think he should be like have some champagne like going through his dining room, too.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. All right. Everybody, listeners, everybody, just spray some champagne in your dining room.
Yeah.
As a feel-good moment. We should all feel good about this connection we have over the internet, right?
Absolutely. That's fun to do that, I would think. I've never done that, right? Just be like, find some small thing, like, woo, just go crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It'd be good. One more thing. You know, I'm going to do something really, really crazy this weekend. I'm going to leave at 2:30 in the morning to drive to a football game in Indiana.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's a big game.
Right.
Badgers could well lose that game.
They could.
Indiana's improved.
Given the efforts that my friend Frank and I are going to get there, I think it would be very disrespectful for them to lose.
Yeah.
So I've got to go meet at Frank's house in Stoughton, Wisconsin, at 3 a.m. to give us enough time to drive down there. It's about a six-hour drive. I don't know how much football traffic they have down there.
11?
It's 11 Central. Yeah.
He might want to leave Eastern. More like at midnight.
We'll be fine. We'll be fine. Don't even think about getting me to leave earlier. All right. It's going to be fun. All right. We'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter at Will's Band. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.